This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Measles was declared eliminated from the U.S. almost 20 years ago. And yet this year, there have been over 1,000 confirmed cases of measles in the U.S. Outbreaks in New York and the Pacific Northwest have drawn attention to falling vaccination rates in some communities, and the situation has sparked widespread fear and concern. Outbreaks in other countries this year have also gotten tangled up in that fear and concern. And to be clear, measles outbreaks are never a good thing. But in some of those cases, the outbreaks may actually be an indication that the country is getting closer to eliminating measles. Matthew Ferrari is an associate professor of biology at Penn State University. Along with his colleague Amy Winter, he has described a boom-bust pattern of measles outbreaks that precedes disease elimination. He's published that work recently in the journal Science and also wrote about it for TheConversation.com. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
What you write is that the road to the elimination of measles is predictable, but not necessarily a straight downward line, that it's not just that the number of cases steadily decreases as vaccination rates go up, but that in fact, the variability in the number of cases from year to year can actually increase. I mean, talk more about this pattern.
Yeah, I think there's really two important things to see in this. So one, when vaccination coverage is quite low and measles is prevalent everywhere, then the number of cases from year to year are always high. And so you always know what you're going to get into. And as vaccination coverage increases and programs become more successful, you decrease the total number of measles cases happening in any given year, and that's a great thing. But what also happens is the year-to-year variability tends to increase. You tend to have some years with very little cases and some years with more cases, and that happens for predictable reasons. If you have a year where there's no big outbreak, right? Well, what that means is that a lot of those kids that were born in that year weren't exposed to measles. And so they're going to be susceptible again in the following year and the year after and the year after. And then you add those to the children that weren't vaccinated. And all of a sudden you have a much bigger population of kids that are susceptible. And eventually an outbreak is going to catch that population. What we really need to be paying attention to is how many kids are susceptible, how many kids haven't been vaccinated, how many kids haven't been naturally immunized by natural infection. And really that those are, you know, a much harder thing to measure in the real world, right? Cases we see.
Obviously, there are clear reasons, explanations for this pattern. How did you actually discover this pattern? Is this something that has been seen with other diseases and is well known, or was this something that kind of surprised you?
Some of it is just as a function of years and years of looking at surveillance data from measles outbreaks and what the time series of measles looks like in successful countries and unsuccessful countries. All the people that were involved in this project have been working on measles for a long time, and we just saw this pattern over and over and over again. So that's one thing. The second is, in fact, this is a really, really general pattern in all kinds of what we call dynamical systems, where tomorrow's outcome depends on today's outcome and maybe on the outcome of the day before. And as you get really, really close to what we call these tipping points, then that increases in variability is a common phenomenon. So what we're looking for in measles is that level of elimination, right? We want to get populations to have high enough vaccination coverage so that we achieve herd immunity and natural infection sort of dies out on its own. That's the beauty of herd immunity, right? It says that you don't actually have to immunize 100% of people. You just have to get that number high enough. And the indirect benefit of vaccination of most people will protect the unvaccinated individuals that you didn't get to. And so we're just trying to get to that point, and we're looking for where that point is. And that increased variability that we're seeing is actually indicative of approaching that point. So if you actually think about it, rather than thinking about it as a negative consequence, think about it as a positive thing, we can actually use this to help identify where that tipping point really is. Now, if you read a lot of the popular literature on measles and a lot of the articles that have been written over the last probably 10 years since we've seen more variability in the United States, you see standard numbers that get repeated over and over again, right? You hear 95% vaccination, right? We need to vaccinate 95% of people in order to achieve herd immunity, right? And slowly over the last 5 years, we've been trying to change that messaging, because the epidemiologists that work on this have always known that 95% vaccination is not the right terminology, right? It's really 95% immunity.
So what's the difference there between 95% vaccination and 95% immunity?
Right. So not every single dose of vaccine works, right? There are a lot of reasons for that. Some of it is sometimes you give a dose of vaccine to a young child who still has the protective maternal antibodies that they got from their mom. And so the vaccine doesn't work. You just gave it to them a little bit too early. And if you gave it to them a month or two later on, right, then they would have lost that maternal immunity and their body would be more likely to stimulate an immune response. So what we really want to achieve is 95% of children that are immunized, which means that we actually need to vaccinate more than 95% of children.
Well, Matthew Farr, I want to go back to your analysis and this idea of the outbreaks and the boom-bust cycle of infections or cases increasing as you get closer to that tipping point. Is the tipping point the 95% immunization rate, or does the tipping point happen a little bit sooner, a little bit later? Where is that point?
Yeah. So again, I think that roughly on average across all countries, it is pretty close to that 95%, their 95% immunity, not vaccination, right? But it's not exactly 95% for all countries. Really what this lays out is now our ability to characterize the average path for all countries and then start to look at what's the individual path for any one country and how does that compare relative to the average across all countries. And even if it's still hard to identify the exact number for any one country, maybe we can at least rank countries. And we can say, well, here's a country that is behaving like its tipping point is a little bit higher or its tipping point is a little bit lower, right? And we can then allocate resources in a more judicious or efficient manner, right, to be able to basically just push countries across that tipping point.
So let's do a little bit of that and actually rank some countries and see where they are on this pathway to elimination. Let's start with the U.S. The outbreaks that we've seen this year, to you, are those a sign that the U.S. is close to the tipping point, or are they a sign that the U.S. is backsliding away from elimination?
To me, they're a sign that the U.S. is backsliding towards that tipping point, but from the other side. So there's two ways to get to a tipping point, right? You can be on the high incidence, high measles, endemic side, and you can be on the elimination side, right? Now, most of the Americas, including the United States, have been on the elimination side, right? And what we've been seeing more recently is those countries moving backwards away from the successes that they've enjoyed.
So this is not a one-way path, and once you go over the tipping point, you're good. You can actually go back over the tipping point and start seeing measles increasing again.
That's right, yeah. We call this a path for a reason, right? This is a path, not a recipe. If there was a recipe for measles elimination, that would mean I do this, I do this, I do this, and I get there, right? This is just the path. You know, you're going to have to go through this pattern in order to get there. There are a million ways that you can move forward or backward on that path. And there are more effective and less effective strategies that can be used to move quickly or slowly along that path, right? But no matter what you do, you're always going to see this phenomenon of, as cases drop, variation is going to increase. And then once you cross that tipping point, variation is going to then drop precipitously.
Well, Matthew Ferrari, let's turn our attention to some of the other countries where we've seen outbreaks. Are they in this same position of backsliding, or are they just, this is the sign that they're actually progressing toward that tipping point? I keep thinking about this like a waterfall, like they're coming down the river and they're almost to that tipping point. And so they're in the white water with these boom busts, these big outbreaks before they hit that tipping point and get to elimination.
Yeah, I think most of the other big outbreaks that we've seen this year, countries like Madagascar, Philippines, Ukraine and Congo have all been on the sort of pre-elimination side of that tipping point. And what we're seeing is an indication that those countries are improving. We're seeing increased vaccination coverage in all of those countries, and the corresponding variation in outbreak sizes that we would expect to see associated with that. But again, I wouldn't want to suggest that those big outbreaks are a good thing, right? They might be an indication that we're getting closer to the tipping point, but they're still really significant and really severe public health emergencies that should be addressed specifically, and we should try and mitigate as much as possible.
Is this pattern that you have described now for the process, I guess, of eliminating measles precise enough to be able to use this as a diagnostic tool for countries to look at that and see where they are on the path?
I hope it will be, but I'm cautious of making overly grandiose statements. I think that as with any set of indicators, it's as precise as we have now. And the hope is that as time goes on, we will make it more precise. And I think that the way to make it more precise is to add additional variables into it. There are a number of other variables that we know tend to be associated with patterns as we get closer to elimination. So we tend to see changes in the relative proportion of cases among children versus adolescents versus adults. We tend to see patterns in how variable the spatial extent of an outbreak is. So does it affect the whole country? Is it really patchy only into small areas? Those kinds of things. The challenge with using some of those other variables is that they're not uniformly collected in all countries. And so the reason that we used these two variables alone right now was because they were consistently available for all countries. And once we can do that, then we can do not just a better job of being precise about any one country, but we can also be better at ranking or doing a relative ranking of countries. And again, that's oftentimes the most important thing, right? Is not, you don't necessarily need to know exactly where any one country is. You just need to know which country is at the top of the list and which country is at the bottom of the list, and then rank your investments accordingly.
Although you also note that this could be a tool for countries to find other countries in a similar position or perhaps a little bit ahead of them on the path and say, hey, what worked for you? What might be a good recipe for us?
Exactly right. And I think that's what we really want to do. And I think that's one of the really powerful uses of surveillance is to sort of give a really sort of objective basis for a conversation among countries and a conversation among the aid organizations and public health organizations. Right. So rather than basing everything only in anecdote, right, and stories about this outbreak or that outbreak, right? Can we come up with a really sort of objective set of classifications, an objective set of variables so that you can say, okay, we're here. What were you doing? What were the strategies you were using? Were you really focusing on investments in routine vaccination? Were you doing child and maternal health days? Were you doing supplemental campaigns that were based in schools, right? Or were you doing supplemental campaigns that were based in community centers? How much engagement did you use, did you rely on with community health workers, right? With traditional healers for getting messaging out to the population, right? I mean, again, it is all about vaccination, but that grossly simplifies how you get vaccination out there.
Matthew Ferrari is an associate professor of biology at Pennsylvania State University and co-author of a recent study in the journal Science and also a piece on theconversation.com about the patterns that we see as countries move towards the elimination of measles. Matthew, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. This has been great.